This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out a bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad at a bad tape, bad life, bad dude, bad bread, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully, mortgage confidently. People dress in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, check it up, should do be home. My friend that come around, fight to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs of town. What a mess, the town is tattered, my brain is splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it up. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855-212-4CBS. George Schroeder of USA Today will join us on College Football at 1040 tonight. And then Jonathan Jones, 1103 from Sports Illustrated, Monday Morning Quarterback, National NFL writer. You thought it was Bones Jones, didn't you there, Mafia? You thought I was talking to Bones? Bones Jones? Johnny Bones Jones? Live Monday Nighter we got going on. All Steelers doing their part to quiet some of the drama surrounding the team. They jumped out to a big lead over the Bucs in Tampa. Reports yesterday said they're finally listening to trade talks for Le'Veon Bell. A crazy Sunday in the NFL saw the Pats lose again, two straight. They got dominated by the Lions and Matt Patricia in his first win. The Vikings got used by the Buffalo Bills. Carver, hi. I was in contact with you yesterday when I was riding that 17-point Bills surfboard on the big waves.
It was an unbelievable 3 hours for me, there's no doubt. Look, I was not expecting it. No Bills fan was expecting to go into Minnesota and beat that team straight up. Not just beat them. They kicked their ass for 3 hours. Two reasons why. One, the Bills kind of got together and said, hey, guys, the whole country's laughing at us here. With a guy walking out last week, worst team in NFL history, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right, right.
So that helped. And the other half of it was that fraudulent Viking team who decided, this game doesn't matter. Let's sit a bunch of guys who are our best players and wait for Thursday against the Rams.
Right.
They sat Cook. They sat Griffin. Let's sit all these guys, and we'll just walk through this one and get there. Well, you can't do that in the NFL.
No.
You can't just not show up because you think the other team sucks. And Allen was great. They changed the game plan, let him do some short stuff early on, got him in a rhythm. He made that one, the diving touchdown for his first one, jumped over the Anthony Barr, the other one, made great throws, made great play action reads. The guy was just, it was everything you wanted to see.
Strong effort right there.
Strong effort.
I had the Bills in 17. I was very excited for you. I reached out to you in the middle of the day, in the middle of your drunken stupor, to let you know that I had a lot of action on the Bills. Major injury for the Niners is Jimmy G is done for the year with a torn ACL. Are the Pats in trouble, or is this a typical slow September start for them? Are you still buying that, that whole act of yours with the, it's all September, it don't matter, they're going to be in the Super Bowl? Because I'm not, they're not going to the Super Bowl.
They do it every year.
No, they're not. That team's not going to the Super Bowl. I'll tell you what. The receivers they got, like Hogan and these guys, they suck.
I mean, they dressed really... three receivers last night. That's another team that thinks that they're smarter than everybody else.
All right, so let me ask you, do you think Jimmy G, the guys on the team, do you think that they, because you heard some of the linebackers saying he did it to himself, they weren't being mean, they were being real, that he should have never run the ball and tried to, like, bust a move on the sideline. He should have just gone out of bounds. Do you think he asked for this?
I think he was hurt before they even hit him. It looked like it to me in that play. He looked like he was hurt. That knee was going down before the guy even hit him.
Oh, the knee blew before he got hit.
Right, right.
You could see it snap.
Yeah.
But do you think he was stupid to try to run for those extra yards on the sideline? He could have just gone down or gone out.
Yeah, it was probably a little too much hero move by him.
I mean, it really was. He actually did this to himself, if you ask me. And I'll tell you another thing. With all that money they gave him, do you think, because they gave him a boatload of money, do you think he'll ever be the same? Like, all these guys come back a year later. Are you buying, like, Deshaun Watson, Wentz, all these guys with these reconstructed knees? No problem. How about I'll give it to you once? I'll give it to you once. One time. Brady did it once. I'll give it to you once. You do it twice, you're finished. In the NFL, you know what you're doing after the second one? You know what you're doing? You're playing in that AAL or whatever the hell it's called.
Well, the big thing, too, is...
The one on NBC with Ebersol's kid, or you're going to play in the XFL. Once you blow it out twice, you're done.
When they bring him back next year, while he's rehabbing it, they got to revamp that team. Like, he has no weapons to begin with, so that's why he's trying to play hero ball and do things himself. You know, we thought he was so great last year, 5-0. This year, they've been terrible to begin with anyway.
Everybody had him going to the Super Bowl. A lot of people had him going to the Super Bowl. They had huge odds. What were they, 20-1? They went to 80-1. But they were in the conversation. They were in the conversation for the playoffs. And in the conversation in the NFC West, were they not Carver High? The Rams were the favorite. But they were in the conversation that they were the team that was going to give them problems.
They were one of the heaviest bet teams going up to
right.
win the NFC. Win.
Right.
Everybody loved them.
And now they're
everybody.
Finished.
Oh, they were finished before he got hurt. Now they're really finished.
They weren't going anywhere with them.
They weren't going anywhere with them. Now they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Now they're worse than everybody saying the Bills were the worst.
I'll take that ticket on the under 8.5. They could give it to me now if they want to give me half the money and just send it.
Pay it now?
Pay it now.
For the third week in a row, Clay Matthews was flagged for a key roughing the passer penalty. Did you think that was a joke? I mean, is it now a joke? It's a joke, right?
That was textbook. If you're teaching a kid how to hit somebody, how to tackle, head to the side, wrap him up, drive through to the ground. He didn't slam him down. He didn't try to throw more weight into him. He didn't hit him with a knee as he was going down or something like that. That was a completely clean textbook tackle. It's embarrassing that they throw the flag on that.
Upsets and crazy finishes in college football on Saturday. Did you see the Oregon coach? Did you see what he did?
I could not believe Mario they Cristobal. Lost that game. I couldn't believe they lost that game.
All they had to do was take three knees. Why did he run the ball?
I don't know what he was doing.
And they fumbled. And then they got the ball, and they kicked a long field goal, tied it, and then beat him in overtime. You got to blame that on Cristobal, right? He's the one that made the plays.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to blame Oregon's head coach for that crappy, botched game that they blew. They had that game in the bag.
They're about to go up, what, like 31-7, and then they snap it over the kid's head, and it just falls apart from there?
They lost. It's unbelievable to me. Vatek losing to Old Dominion. Worse than losing to Old Dominion, they lost their quarterback. He broke his leg. So their season's down the drain, if you ask me. Texas beat TCU. I guess TCU's a poser. After the Ohio State game, I thought they would show up, but they got worse. Oklahoma struggled against Army. I had Oklahoma to win, which they did in overtime. I had Army plus 21. Cover! Tiger Woods won his first tournament in more than 5 years, winning the Tour Championship. The throng of fans around that 18th green maybe was the greatest thing I've ever seen in golf. Have you ever seen anything crazier than that scene yesterday at that golf course at East Lake in Atlanta? Have you ever seen a crowd like that at a golf course?
Except that was wild.
The British Open, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was crazy.
They love him more than all others. That's pretty obvious.
And the ratings tell you, too, because they never do the kind of number they did yesterday on an NFL NFL.
I never thought that would happen, but I also didn't think that he'd be in the lead going into Sunday at the Tour Championship. So on like Friday, I said, no one's watching that. But obviously, when he's winning in a golf tournament on Sunday, everyone watches.
The only bad part about it was that Justin Rose had to win the $10 million in the FedEx Cup.
He should have won that, too, the $10 million Tiger.
Yeah, he should have.
I think so. I just wanted to say I was attacked by my dog tonight in my house.
Got the bandage all over your hand?
I got my dog Cujo'd out on me, and literally rabid dog, like a mountain lion, like a canyon coyote. This dog raised his lips, and his eyes had blood coming out of them, and it literally sunk its entire jaw into my hand and bit me. And I have a gigantic, absolutely gigantic, horrific cut on my hand. And Carver, I did not have time to get stitches because I had to do a Pharrell and the Betts show. So I taped it up like a glory taping. And then I tried to take a shower without it on the taping, and I gushed blood in the shower. So basically at this point, without this on my hand, I believe I would leak like the Exxon Valdez and die in here tonight.
That is a disturbing image.
I will not comment on what I did to the dog on the air so as to not be, let's just say, questioned about it later. End of story. It's a rough ending to the story, Carver. If I told you what I did to the dog, it may not go over well. So I'll just leave it at that. Mafia, were you surprised at the story I told you in the car, which is the whole story?
I was not surprised.
Did you feel that what I did was right or wrong?
I would have to see the whole incident myself to know exactly. But, I mean, some of the actions were definitely justified, for sure.
There you go. When the dog is attacking you, full rabid, mountain lion, coyote style, and the lips are raised, and you see every tooth in its mouth, and its eyes are bleeding, and its face is, like, nasty and cringed and lit like an absolute bear, like a bear, what would you do? Would you protect yourself, or would you let the dog do that to you?
Protect yourself, of course.
So what do you think I did?
Protected yourself.
Thank you. End of story. There you go. No comment of what happened after that point. Let's just say I made it to work. Here we go. Pharrell on a bench has the best football picks. I did it again this weekend. How about the 1 and 4 p.m. games in the NFL? 69% winners. You like that, don't you? Thursday, you got Miami hosting North Carolina and the Vikings at the Rams. How's that for action? Saturday, Ohio State, Penn State. Sunday, Dolphins, Pats. Sunday night, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Every pick, every sport. Baseball, boxing, MMA, NHL, DFS. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Tomorrow, a new episode of Pharrell on the Bets. Follow it at OnTheBets, WWO. And it's dropping at 6:30 tomorrow morning, episode number 25. Pharrell on the Bets. Check it out.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. High Heat checking in with me on the text, Mafia, that he was wondering if he needed to come over with a, you know, side piece, like a little, he's got a little action, you know, he's got several different choices, I'm sure, on his person and, you know, on his self and on his, in his car and at his home. He has several choices, options for dealing with these kinds of behavioral issues of young little Cujo Boston, who now everyone's like, why do you call him Boston? And now you know why. Because everyone hates Boston, here anyway, in New York and New Jersey, including Carver High. And the dog has the personality of one that would be treated as an outsider or a mean person. If you hate someone enough, the enemy down the street, and everyone wants to kill them, that person would be defensive and would be fangle-toothed. And High Heat has offered his services to come over to the Pharrella Palatial and deal accordingly with thus animal. And I have told him that the animal has been dealt with in a positive, loving nature way where I talked to the dog later, an hour after the incident, and showed him my wound. And the dog licked my hand, knowing it had failed me and it had promised to never do it again. And that if I did have to do it again, he would be sent to the gallows.
Plus, your family would not forgive you.
My family would rather send me to the incinerator than the dog.
They would.
Because they think I'm a creep. I'm a negative creep. I'm a negative creep. I'm a negative creep. And I... Steelers almost pick it off at the end zone at the goal line, but they drop it because the player was white. Carver High... has already had one hit tonight on the dump machine. That one almost came to number two. We could be off to a strong start tonight, Carver High, for the week. See how many times we have to dump our raucous behavior on the radio dial. I'm just looking forward to talking to Bones Jones tonight from the Sports Illustrated. Does he call him Bones Jones? Anyone at the magazine? Since Peter King left, everyone's brought nicknames back into the fold?
Probably not.
You know, that guy left, but they kept that thing going. It's not.
Of course.
Is it the same without him? No.
I'm sure, like, it's different as far as, like, you don't have his column and things like that, but all those people were already there writing things and doing the same kind of journalism they're still doing, you know, the great work that they've been doing for years. So I'm sure that's continued, and I don't know what the column's like, the whole Monday morning quarterback in the Sports Illustrated, who's, like, really taking charge of it since.
Did you know that Tony Robbins and Dan Gilbert are trying to buy Sports Illustrated?
I did not know that.
Do you know who Tony Robbins is?
I do. The motivational guy, right?
Right. That's right. So I have a question for you. Did you guys see Kirby Smart on Saturday against Georgia, Missouri? Did anybody watch any of his shenanigans on the sideline?
I did.
Did you see him, like, absolutely having a conniption.
He wasn't happy.
Because a guy had, like, personal foul, a late hit on the quarterback lock at the around his feet. Like, he went down on his ankles, like, when the guy threw an incomplete pass, but he hit him low, and then they flagged him for 15. Meanwhile, they were up by 20 or something at the time. But did you see that guy snap? Like, did you see him freak out, like, over that flag? Like, I mean, that guy looked to me. I mean, honestly, you think I'm bad? That guy... I mean, I get mad, right, and I lose my temper, and I'm not pleasant to be around. But I got to tell you, that overreaction by him was almost, you know, medicinal. I thought he was going to have a stroke. Like, I thought he was going to drop dead on the field of like, a massive heart attack or a coronary or a stroke. Because did you see him freak out? Like, his face turned green-purple, and he was screaming and cussing for 5 minutes straight and throwing headsets over some flag, and they were already winning by 20. Like, I was like, dude, you need to go to the Caribbean and have sex, something, because you are stressed out, bro. Did you see that guy?
Who did you think looked worse, him or McCarthy yesterday?
McCarthy.
McCarthy, after the Clay Matthews flag, almost accosted the referee on the sideline. He was
mad. But that's
understandable.
Nothing compared to Kirby Smart.
The way they keep, like, ripping this guy, too. It keeps, like, for some reason, it's like they made this rule to hurt Clay Matthews, because every week they have flagged this guy, and they've been clean hit for the most part. I don't know about the one last week, but first week and this week were perfectly fine hits to me.
But you're comfortable with him saying that the league has gone soft. I'm all right with that.
Yes, absolutely, because, you know, it's one thing to protect the quarterback. It's one thing to stop, you know, head hits, things like that.
Right.
You're not allowed to lower your head, use his weapon. I'm okay with all of that.
Tackling and laying on him.
But you should be allowed to tackle the quarterback. You cannot protect him to the point that you cannot touch this guy.
You know what's next? They're going to say guys are too big in the NFL. 300-pounders shouldn't be allowed to play. They need to be 225 pounds or less so that when they lay on a quarterback, they don't get hurt. Because the 300-pounders are hurting them. Is what the rule is established for. It's for guys putting all their weight on him and landing on him and rolling over on him and, you know, pretty much doing him. And I think that the next thing you'll see is they're going to, like, in the future, they're going to want players to be lighter than, seriously, like, lighter than 275. Because they're too fat, they're too big, and they're getting penalized for rolling on people. What's next? Are they gonna say the same thing when the running back runs the ball, that you can't tackle him and lay on him? Because the tackle, did you see today the funny clip someone put up, the gif of the guy in his yard with his daughter? He did a slow-motion video of the guy tackling his daughter playing quarterback. And what he did was he like, baptized her like Jesus. She fell backwards into his arms, and then he, like, carried her over and then laid her down on the ground, and that's how you sack someone. And it was so funny because it's so true. It's exactly what the NFL wants. They want this candy-ass, soft-ass, you know, just absolute, basically femass tackle. They want you to, like, whip them down on the ground. Like, go in, get them around the waist, and throw them down. That's what they want. And even that'll probably get you flagged.
Well, it's almost like they want you to go and grab them and somehow get your body weight underneath them. Like, they want you to take them down and brace for them.
Softly.
Like you got to be the, you know, the cushion for them so they don't get hurt by the grass. I mean, look at the guy in Miami.
I think
who blew out his knee because of this rule. He tried to avoid the contact. And because of that, blew out his knee. His season is done.
Right. And who is that guy?
The defensive lineman from the Dolphins.
William Hayes.
Okay, I've never heard of him, so he doesn't matter. I just wanted to say that on the show here early. So we got that out in the open. Well, the only people that matter are people that you know. Okay, so Garoppolo blows out his knee. We know him. Nick Bosa, ab surgery, done till November. We know him. This story that you're selling me on, some guy no one's ever heard of, getting injured because of a tackle. If you don't know him, he doesn't count. Story not worthy. That's just me tonight on this show. Not worthy. Sorry, don't know
one
you.
One of the top defenders.
Top defender I've never heard of. Thanks.
I'll
I know
take it
everyone.
Out of my update. I'll
I know
take
everyone
it out.
In the league. Who is he?
You know every defensive lineman in the league?
Pretty
He's
much.
Good. He's good.
Oh, well, there you go. I still don't know him, and therefore he doesn't matter.
And the thing is, too, I mean.
There you go.
Yes, guys,
hey,
like some,
hey,
some guys.
What are you going to bite me too? Are you going to bite me too now? What's next? Are you going to bite me? Are you going to attack me? You going to bite me? I'm having post-traumatic stress disorder right now after I got attacked by a 120-pound dog tonight. I'm seeing things. All I know is I'm seeing black and gold going in the end zone. A lot of it, too. Another first down for the Steelers with Juju Schuster. What, Mafia?
The thing is, too, it's like they're doing so much to protect the quarterback. Aren't your quarterbacks getting bigger? Yes, you have some like Baker Mayfield that come in that are small.
Right.
You have Drew Brees, but look at Big Ben. Look at Josh Allen. Like, look at Cam Newton. Some of these guys are like 6'6 to 6'8, 230 to 250. Right. They don't need the protection as much anymore.
Did you see, Darwin, did you see Kirby Smart have a meltdown on the sidelines Saturday?
I missed that. No, I did not see that.
I mean to tell you, there's got to be, like, video of it, right? There's got to be, if you look up Kirby Smart losing his shack on Saturday at Columbia, Missouri, it was a personal foul, it was a roughing the passer call, and he absolutely lost it like nothing. I mean, it was like Bob Knight stuff. It was like legend. He had a conniption. He was screaming, why, so loud. I thought literally the stands were going to come down at the stadium.
Worse than McCarthy, the Packers game?
I gave Kirby Smart way worse than McCarthy. He gave Carver High also gave McCarthy the nod that he mentioned that he was in the same breath as him. And I actually don't acknowledge McCarthy compared to the conniption I saw Smart have. I mean, they were up 20 when he did it, too.
It was different. Kirby was more like him, you know, he was yelling at himself, and he's yelling, like,
why?
Towards the ground
why?
And stuff. McCarthy, like, looked like he wanted to grab the ref by the neck and kill him right there on the field. Like, it was
that
just,
would have been
they
awesome.
Were two different things.
I would have loved to have seen a coach in the NFL murder a ref.
I would have loved him to see to tackle honestly, the ref. Like, tackle the ref and be like, is that a clean hit?
Is anybody with me on that? Like, if he pulled out, like, a 9 Glock or a shank and did him right there on the sideline, would have been – and the guy spraying blood out of his neck, would that have been, like – I think that would have made Sunday more exciting on the Red Zone channel. That's just me, but I'm a – you know, I like horror movies, so.
There's that movie with the receiver – why can't I think of the movie? Is it Jamie – the receiver running down the field and he shoots the guy? It's like a dream sequence. What movie is that?
Is that –
football movie. I can't think of it right now.
Any Given Sunday?
No, it's not. It's no. A different movie.
Wasn't isn't that the beginning of, like, The Last Boy Scout?
Yes, that's what it is.
That was a great call by you, Mavia, and that was a great movie, The Last Boy Scout. And who was that guy in there, that comedian?
Damon Wayans, Bruce Willis?
Good job.
Bruce Willis,
that's a great job by you guys.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, George Schroeder's with the USA Today, covers college football. I think he was at the Texas game in Austin with TCU. Is that about right, George? Thanks for coming on the Bench.
Glad to come on. I was not at that game. I did write about it. New World of Journalism.
All right.
How that goes.
Fair enough. So, listen, I watched that game, and, you know, I had a lot of games going, but that was one of them. And I got to tell you, you tell me what you thought, but I was a little bit surprised that TCU, off of the game with Ohio State, that they, you know, I understand they lost by 12, but I thought going in, this is just me, that they would have gotten something out of that game playing a team at the highest level, that they would have been, you know, there would be advantages to that, win or lose. But they went on the road, and to me they looked way worse than they did against – they played better against Ohio State than they did Texas.
Yeah, we're talking about 18 to 22-year-olds and emotional swings, first of all. I mean, I think they were a little flat. They had clearly put a ton into the Ohio State game and felt like they could have won it. Now, I'm not saying they could have won it, but that's what they thought, and they did play a really good game. So I think that's the first part. Second part is, and maybe it's related to the first part, they committed, what, 3 turnovers, which essentially changed the complete course of the game and the momentum. And then the third piece is, let's not misunderstand here, we all wrote Texas off after that terrible opening against Maryland.
Right.
And thought, what in the world's going on?
Right.
But then they didn't play well against Tulsa in the second week, but they did win the game. But the last 2 weeks, and I don't know that USC's all that good, but the last 2 weeks, Texas has looked really good against USC and TCU. And I think it's time that we actually take a look and see whether Texas is trending in the right direction. And that's a part of this. That's a part of the whole TCU problem was Texas.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I got to tell you that I looked up and I'm like, they're 3-1, and Herman's obviously doing a job, because I think USC, like, I watched them on Friday night against Washington State. I thought they should have lost that game, but they didn't. And JT Daniels made some spectacular passes in that game Friday night at the Coliseum, some great over-the-shoulder passes. So maybe USC isn't that bad after all. They're not that great, but they're not that bad. And then you know, they beat them, and then they beat TCU. So now maybe you're right. It's that Texas and Herman is actually starting to look like he's doing a job there.
Yeah, I think he is. And look, they have historically, their next game is at Kansas State, and they're, believe it or not, I think 1-7 the last 2 years against Kansas State. It's some terrible record like that,
right?
Which is just amazing, but it's kind of emblematic of the whole Texas troubles over the last few years. This is not a good Kansas State team. I realize it's in Manhattan, Kansas. But let's fast forward Texas past that game. Let's say they win that game. I think they will. And let's say Oklahoma this weekend beats Baylor at home. I believe they'll do that.
Right.
Then on October 6th in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl, Oklahoma-Texas brings all sorts of meaning back, like it was a decade ago when it was always a couple of top five teams. It won't be that. It'll be, a top five team and a top 15 team. But all of a sudden, don't you look at that differently and think to yourself, maybe Texas has got a shot here, and it could be at least a whale of a game. And that's the kind of thing the Big 12 needs, quite frankly.
Listen, Army gave Oklahoma a game, and I was on Army in that game, and I knew that they would show up. And I didn't think they'd win, but I thought that they would be within reason in that football game, and they were. It went to overtime. I think Oklahoma's a very exciting football team, but the fact that Army, honestly, with their athletes compared to Oklahoma's, please, I don't even want to discuss it, but the fact that they gave them a football game in Norman, then there's no reason in the world that Texas can't give them a game.
That's right. Now, let me play the devil's advocate here. The triple option offense in the middle of the season is a real tough preparation.
Right.
I actually thought you actually only gave up 21 points. Now, you let them hold the ball for 44 minutes or 45 minutes. That's terrible. But I actually think it was Oklahoma's offense, which kind of had four straight possessions where they didn't score and went scoreless in the second half until overtime, right?
Right.
Oklahoma's offense, if they just score a couple of times and they really were – that's where they outmanned Army tremendously, then this does never become a thing. Army holds the ball for 40 minutes and Oklahoma wins, 35-14, and nobody says anything.
Right.
To me, I'm going to give them a one-off on the defense and just say this is a mulligan. Where I thought it was a bad deal is that their offense should have been able to score at will against the Army defenders, and they didn't.
George Schroeder with us, the great writer from the USA Today, covers college football. So we talked about, I don't know if you saw it, that Oregon-Stanford game, but I mentioned earlier on the show, I think Mario Cristobal, I love him because he was I'm a Canes fan, so I knew him when he was at Miami, and then I knew him when he was coaching down in South Florida, and then he ends up somehow with Taggart out there, and next thing you know, Taggart bolts for Tallahassee, and here's Mario coaching Oregon. And obviously, I thought Oregon played a great game until the point where, my producer said the ball sailed over the punter's head, whatever. But I thought that the calls that he made, I was very troubled by the not, kneeling down and running the ball instead. So it was like he took a risk. It didn't work. They gift-wrapped it. The guy fumbles, and then what happened. What did you think when you saw him making those decisions?
Well, first off, let me just say this. I think in general – I like the college game better than the NFL game, but one place the NFL game is better, much better, is in clock decisions down at the end of a game. I think the coaching is better in that regard. And I thought Mario's, and I know he was at FIU as a head coach, but I thought his head coaching inexperience showed there, because if you take a knee and force Stanford to call the timeout, and then you take another knee, you're going to end up punting the ball. The length of the field, they're going to have to go the length of field with about 15 seconds left.
Right.
And to me, the idea that that's the safest play. Now, he would say, a first down wins the game, and that's exactly right. But what can happen is you can have a fumble. And that's what happened.
And that's what happened.
Is that an unlikely event? Absolutely. But what's more likely? And that's where you've got to have some sort of a preset risk management type of setup. And I thought he made a mistake there, and I think a lot of other people did too. I agree with you. I'm sure he's kicking himself there.
There is no decision, if you ask me. It's like you punt the ball away, and they're not going 90 yards in 15 seconds. I don't care who the quarterback is, and I don't care how hot they were, and they got this momentum going, and then they kicked the field goal and they win the game. Boy, when they fumbled, I knew that they were going to lose that game. I did. I was like, they're going to lose this game now. And sure enough, they did. I thought it was crazy. UCF, what do you think of McKenzie? And do you think that they'll have as easy a time as the 20-point win over FAU when they play Pitt?
Well, Pitt's not very good. Let's start with that. You know, they just lost to North Carolina.
They're better than FAU.
Well, they may well be, but we're not talking about a giant killer here. I mean, you just lost to a North Carolina team that lost to who? East Carolina?
Right.
Which had just lost to North Carolina A&T. And we could play that game all the way down to having somebody like Hofstra as a national champion, right?
Old Dominion.
I won't go any further.
Old Dominion.
Well, they probably, there's no question we can get them there now, because if we can get Florida State to beat Clemson, we're really close at that point.
Right.
But
George. How about George?
I'm sorry, I took us far down the road here. In answer to your original question, absolutely they can beat Pitt, and I think they will beat Pitt, and I don't know that Pitt's going to be as big a challenge as FAU was for them. But Mackenzie Milton is tremendous. He's really good. And the one cool thing about UCF and the Knights is they haven't skipped a beat to this point. I mean, I still think this could happen with the coaching change, with Scott Frost going off to Nebraska and Josh Heupel taking over. And you know, that on the one hand, it shows you that Scott left a really nice team for Josh Heupel. But on the other hand, you're not messing it up. And, you know, they've got a crazy long win streak now. I think it's 16 games.
Yeah, it's great. They're really fun to watch play, too. I got to ask you, lastly, Ohio State and Penn State this week is the, you know, featured attraction. Ohio State is, you know, got Urban Meyer back, whatever. And then Penn State, the way they handled their business Friday night when, you know, they were in this, you know, bad game with Illinois, all of a sudden they lit them up and blew them out. And the game's in Beaver. What do you think will happen between these two heavyweights with no Nick Bosa on the field?
Well, and that's an important thing, but Ohio State has, I'm not sure they have the depth maybe of the best defensive on defense, but their frontline talent, even without Bosa, is really good. And offensively, they're at a different level than they've been over the last few years with Dwayne Haskins injecting the deep ball into the attack. They're just a different animal offensively. If this were played on a neutral field, I would say no question I'm going with Ohio State. I think you have to be a little bit hesitant to just throw it to Ohio State. And that's no slight, by the way, to Penn State. They're good. I just think Ohio State might have been the most impressive team in the country to this point. And I realize that includes Alabama. That's how much I think of Ohio State. I at least are putting them in the same class with Alabama at this point through four games. So it's no slight to Penn State. But the one tinge of hesitation I have is this: 100,000-plus people in Happy Valley, you know, one of those whiteout games at night, and that place is as crazy as any place in college football, and it's a hard place to win. And Ohio State, you know, struggled to win one 4 years ago, lost one 2 years ago, and, you know, so to me, we could be in for a dogfight, and it should be a lot of fun.
I got 1 minute, respectfully, George. Do you think, this is my overtime question, do you think that Nikosi Perry and Ian Book will be the starters now for you know, Miami and Notre Dame the rest of the season?
Yeah, well, Ian Book, yes. Perry, I think so, but I'm not quite as convinced he's going to continue with that kind of performance. But, yeah, and here's the other one, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson over Kelly Bryant, which, by the way, Kelly Bryant had been fine. It's just Trevor Lawrence is, it looks like, a real find as a freshman.
Right. Great stuff, George. You're always fantastic on the show. I love your work on air with me. And then, obviously, your comms about college football are fantastic. Always love having you on. We'll get you back on throughout the season. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio, brother.
Hey, thanks, man. I enjoy it.
All right, George Schroeder with the USA Today. Did you see earlier, Carver High, your boy Bob Nightingale was writing about Ned Coletti maybe getting the Giants GM gig. That, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, not happening. And Bochy will be back, but the GM now of the Giants is out. Ned Coletti allegedly not getting it, and Bochy will be back. Bob Nightingale, I was following his action today on that story. A lot happening here. Jonathan Jones next, SI and MM quarterback, talking pro football.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.